Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At the moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we get started this morning, I'll ask you the same question that I had for the children. Did you get everything that you wanted for Christmas? Who had a list? Any of you have a list of things you wanted? Well, I'm surprised. You're too proud to admit it, right? Yeah. You know, if you got everything that you wanted for Christmas, then that's wonderful. If you didn't get everything you wanted, you might have been tempted to hit those blockbuster after Christmas sales that go on right after that. There's a story that's told about a young woman who did such a thing. She went out shopping the day after Christmas when all the prices were slashed and everything, and she took her young child, her young son, with her to the mall, and they went out there, and she was taking advantage of all the sale items and all these things. As they reached the checkout counter, there was a bin right there with lots of different Christmas items in there, slashed to ridiculous prices. And as they walked into the line of the cash register, her son picked up a little figurine of Jesus lying in the manger. And he looked at his mama and he said, "Mama, what's this?" And, you know, she was in a hurry and she'd been battling all the crowds and everything. So she hurried and took that thing out of her child's hand and said, "You don't want that." And she put it back in the bin. You know, it would appear for this mother and for this child, I guess, that Christmas was over the day after. Even as they were walking around in those busy malls, it was over with. The gift giving was completed. The candlelight services were held, and they were done. Gifts had been exchanged, and people had already started putting away their Christmas decorations. For her, Christmas was over. You know, here we are today. We're a week removed from our candlelight service, and for the most part, the world has moved on. In fact, today is the day when people are gearing up for the New Year celebration. They're hoping that the New Year will bring so much more prosperity and so much more than the year that we're saying goodbye to. But take a look around. Take a look around. Good look around. Christmas is not over. We still have trees standing in our chancel. And the trees are decorated with symbols of our Lord Jesus Christ. In many churches, there's probably still poinsettias that are crowding the chancel area and all these things that are just, you know, with bright red and green. Out in front of our church, you know, we still have our nativity scene set up out there in front of the church. You know why? Well, because it's still Christmas. It's still Christmas. All too often, we forget. We get caught up in the world's hustle and bustle. We forget that we're in the midst of a celebration. 12 days of Christmas. Not just December 25th. 12 days of Christmas we celebrate. God's coming to earth in the form of the child, Jesus Christ, who was born and made. 12 days we celebrate, acknowledging that through this little child, God has reconciled that who's lost his sin so long ago. You know, I would suppose that for all those folks who have moved on from Christmas, they didn't necessarily get what they wanted. But I can assure you that God has given the world what it needed. The angel's message that we heard last week rings loud and clear, and it bears the proof. In the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That message was received by the shepherds, and they rejoiced wildly. We heard that message again last week. You know, I've heard this message, oh gosh, well over 50 times in my life at Christmas. And you know, as the angels departed the shepherds, they went wildly looking for the Christ child. They found him just as the angels said they would. He was lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, there with his mother and his father. It was Christ the Lord, just like the angels had said. The angels told him. Each time we've heard this story, I don't know about you, but not everybody who's told me the story was an angel. I have lots of people in my collective past that I can point to and say, well, they weren't necessarily an angel, but they knew the story of Jesus' birth. And, you know, even as it's told by just ordinary people, the message of God's gift to humanity brings truth. You know, we've celebrated, as a church, we've celebrated Christmas for years and years and years. As God's people, we look forward to the day. We should be getting pretty good at the celebration by now. Understanding that, did we return to our homes last Sunday evening? Did we return to our homes running for joy, telling everybody we bumped into that Jesus was born? Did we do what the shepherds did? Go out and spread the news throughout the countryside, telling everybody what we had just heard and what we had just seen? We probably should have, because it's the same message that the shepherds heard. It hasn't changed. It's the same words. You know, it doesn't matter who tells the story. It doesn't matter how many times you've heard it. It's nothing short of miraculous. It's nothing short of the very best news that the world could ever see. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Understanding all of that, understanding the pictures of angels and shepherds and the glory of God shining all around them, I'll ask you again, did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? Perhaps not. But I assure you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you got what you need. A Savior is born. You know, long after the prophets foretold of Jesus' coming, long after Isaiah said, look, a virgin shall conceive a child, long before any of that, there was a man named Simeon, who the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. You know, Luke doesn't tell us a whole lot about Simeon's life. He just tells us that he was a man who lived in Jerusalem for many, many years. He was getting on in years. And, you know, he lived there in Jerusalem. He came to the temple every single day, and so did Anna. Anna, we don't hear much about her either. She lived with her husband for only 7 years. Then after that, she lived to be 84 years old, praying, fasting, longing to see God's grace and mercy, worshiping God with all of her heart, soul, and mind. The Holy Spirit placed upon Simeon the promise that he would not see death until he saw the Messiah. Simeon was a devout man, Scripture tells us. Simeon was righteous. He was upright. Simeon had found favor with the Lord. Israel was waiting for God's Messiah. Israel was looking for the restoration of the kingdom, for the restoration of David's throne. Simeon waited as well. But in the instant that Simeon saw Mary and Joseph come into the temple carrying the little child, he rejoiced. Simeon recognized the Messiah. Even though he didn't come as a great king, as he didn't come as a great warrior who would defeat the Roman Empire and cast them out of the Holy Lands and restore the kingdom, Simeon recognized the Messiah, the God that came to him in the most unexpected way, born of a young woman, helpless, for all intents and purposes, homeless. Hardly the great warrior that Israel had envisioned. Certainly we can say to some degree that Simeon didn't necessarily get what he wanted for Christmas. At least not what he was looking for. But he got exactly what he needed. Through the eyes of faith, Simeon received exactly what he needed. He was the first to recognize that the people of God had received the Messiah, that they had received the Christ of God. They got what they needed, a Savior. You know, as we heard last week, the story of the shepherds, the story of the angels. And now this week we've heard the story of Simeon and Anna. I suppose that it's only important that we remember that even as we recall their stories, and we call these things the first Christmas, it wasn't really a specific day that was on the minds of anybody back then. It's not like, you know, the shepherds and Simeon and Anna had December 25th circled on their calendar, were expecting something great to happen. They didn't even have a December. There was no such thing as December back then. But when the shepherds heard the proclamation of angels, they went to behold the gift. When Simeon and Anna first saw the Christ child, their hearts were filled with joy, and they praised God with all that they had. Some 2,000 years later, as we hear their stories, I can't help but wonder if the people of God feel the same joy at Christmas. I can't help but wonder if the people of God feel the same joy as we receive the promise of the Savior. Even in Advent time, you know, the 4-week season we just came through, did we have the same expectations Simeon had? Did we have the expectation that God will indeed, in his own time, fulfill his promise that Christ will come again? Or did we just simply gather, as we do week after week, without any expectation or longing? This baby that Simeon marveled at so many years ago. This is the same Jesus Christ that we're waiting to see again. This is the same Jesus Christ that came into the world to save people from their sin. This baby that Simeon was so privileged to hold in his arms is the same God that defeated the powers of sin, death, and the grave through his victory on the cross. It's the same Jesus who we have all come to know as our Lord and our Savior, the Lord and Savior, the Lord and God who healed the sick through many signs and wonders, the Lord and God who showed compassion to widows and children, the same God who came to multitudes and fed the hungry, the same God, the same Lord who restored life to those who had died. It's the same Jesus. The same Jesus comes to us today and shows us how to love those who society says are not worthy of love. Simeon recognized the Christ. He was blessed to hold him in his arms. Can you imagine the joy, the wonder of holding the Christ child in your arms? Simeon gave thanks. Because Simeon received the gifts in his arms that had been promised to him so long ago that he would not see death until he beheld God's Messiah. He was able to depart this world in a peace that passes all understanding. People of God, what did you want for Christmas? Did you want the latest gadget that's out there that's as seen on TV? The thing that's out there that makes life so much easier? Did you hope to receive tickets for that special vacation you've been longing to take and you couldn't wait for it? Did you hope for all of these things or some other things that are wrapped in bright and colored packages with ribbons and bows and tucked nicely under a tree? You know, you may not have received these things. You may not have received all the things that were on your list or the things that you wanted. But God continues to give you what you need. Through the baby born in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph so long ago. Through the baby that Simeon held in his arms and rejoiced wildly. This child that was destined for the rise and fall of many. Through this baby, through this child, through this gift, God has given you his grace and his mercy and life everlasting. Jesus is the best possible gift we could ever receive. And his mercy and grace are so profound that it's cause for wild rejoicing. So it's still Christmas. You still have time. Go along with the shepherds. Go out into the countryside. Go out into the crowded business areas and districts and go out into the malls and the stores and the restaurants and tell people the story of Christmas. Tell them all that you've seen and all that you've heard. Tell others of the goodness of God that has come to earth. Tell others about the wonder of God's love. Go with excitement. Go with joy. The excitement and joy of those who first beheld Christ's child. And as you do, look forward in the eyes of faith. Look forward in wait and longing expectation as Simeon did. Wait with excitement, with expectation for Christ coming again. For that day will also not be one that we have circled on the calendar. That day is going to come at an unexpected time, in an unexpected way, when we at least expect to see Jesus Christ coming again in glory. But it's enough to know now the promise of the church. So as Simeon said, go and tell others, and behold the salvation of God, which he has prepared in the sight of God.